It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champions Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Everybody, welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast. My name is Roddy DeBulsey. I will be your host for the next hour. I'm joined by Jim Donnan and Jake Roos, the two stars of the show. I'm just the guy here handing out the live fish to Shamu and the dolphins here. So
I'm more like a seal, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm tossing them fish, and everyone's here to see them. They're not here to see the trainer. Big shout out to our friends over at Athens Ford, Aaron Overhead Doors, Your Pie, Academia Brewing Company, Cable East, and Georgia Game Day Center. If you're watching this on YouTube, give us a like, subscribe to the page. We'd appreciate it. And if you're watching it on Facebook, go ahead and hit up our friends at 365 Game Day with a like. We'd very much appreciate that. It's game week, guys. We had a week off last week. Now we prepare for Tennessee. A Tennessee team that Kirby Smart said is on the verge of something big, which I think Kirby was being very polite there. I don't know that
we'll see.
Yeah, how good they're going to be. not sure exactly what's going on, but we'll see. Give me your thoughts, Coach, on Tennessee right off the bat.
Well, you know, what I think Kirby was referring to is the potential is there with history and tradition and the fact that they've got a really good coaching staff and some good recruiters on that staff. And as we've mentioned so many times, there's not a Georgia can't take all the players in this state and surrounding states. And they've done a pretty good job in their first 2 years recruiting and starting to pick it up here. So, you know, realistically, they're still down talent-wise, don't have a lot of premier players. And it's showing in the way they've played. And then it's magnified in their poor loss to Georgia State, where they turned the ball over and just didn't play very well. But, you know, it's a game where you're playing every week. You see people play above what they need. Who would have thought that Clemson would have struggled with North Carolina? I mean, it's the same kind of situation. North Carolina won two games last year, lost to Appalachian State last week very badly, and goes down to a two-point play. So I'm not saying that's going to happen, but there is a disparity in talent, a disparity in depth. We've certainly dominated them the last 2 years, although last year they played us pretty good there for, you know.
They did for a little while, yeah.
So I think what Kirby has a lot of was saying, he's got a lot of respect for Pruitt and some of the coaches that work with him, and the potential is there. Certainly, to me, a lot more potential than what you see with Arkansas, what you see with Vanderbilt, what you see with Ole Miss this year. So we'll see what happens. But conversely, I feel good about our team, where we are, had a chance to replenish the batteries, get some time for some of these injuries to heal. Not only the major injuries that guys have missed games, but just the nicks and bruises that come with all of fall camp and four games. So we should be pretty fresh going into this game up at Knoxville.
Yeah. when I think of Jeremy Pruitt up there, and I want to give him credit for being, you know, a pretty good coach, but I think of the staff that he's assembled. That's a lot of former Georgia coaches up there. That's a lot of talented guys, you know, that, I, like you said, they don't have the horses that Georgia does, but they're going to make the most out of what they've got. And I just wonder, are they that far off? I mean, is it that such a
maybe
drop
not
in talent?
Maybe not the East, but at the upper echelon, but the rest of the league, even though they did falter last year against Vanderbilt, they did beat Auburn last year. They did beat Kentucky, which, you know, Kentucky won 10 games, so they're capable. But, you know, when you're struggling and you turn the ball over like they have, it's hard to win games. So I think we're just in a scenario there that when you say you respect Coach Pruitt, the fact remains he's been in the blueprint of programs that have won the national championship, of which he was coaching there at Alabama and at Florida State. So he's using the same practice schedule, the same player development, the same weight program, the same nutrition program, everything to a T that Alabama does, that South Carolina does, that Georgia does. Anybody's been around Nick, although Kirby's changed a few things, but he knows how to develop players. He knows how to coach them up. And, you know, I watched this guy coach here for a couple years and watched him around our program. He's a very astute guy, a very, very good a son of a high school coach. He knows football. And I respect him, and so does Kirby.
Well, and he's a very intense guy, I think, is one of the things that I would say about Jeremy Pruitt. Having watched him out there on the practice field, it's a guy who, you know, I think that you're talking about throughout the season, people have been mentioning, oh, you know, this lackadaisical effort maybe that you're seeing sometimes from Tennessee. I don't think that's going to be able to continue under Jeremy Pruitt. He's just so hard. He's such a hard ass, really. I mean, that's the word I would use for him.
Yeah, he's not going to put up with that. But really, you can't trade for players, and you can't – there's no way you can do anything except try to change the culture. And to me, they're a lot better than they were last year in a lot of areas. The other area that really hurts them, though, is their talent level is not there. And having Chaney there probably gives them a little more sense of direction on offense. A guy that's coached in this league that's known how to coach teams with inferior talent, like at Arkansas and at Tennessee when Coach Derek Dooley was there. And, you know, he was able to manufacture some points for him. But right now, their offensive line is way too young, way too inexperienced. Their D-line's okay. They're not real great at linebacker in the secondary. They got a good tight end situation. Quarterback-wise, they're just turning the ball over too much. I don't know if they'll make a change there and go with the freshman Maurer, but they could. How do you pronounce it, Maurer or Maurer?
I think it's Maurer, yeah.
Maurer. Just like it's Garantino, isn't it, instead of Garantano. You know, how do you pronounce that?
I think it's I've always heard Jared Guarantano.
All right, it's Guarantano. It's like that it's like that guy that used to talk from North Carolina up in Western North Carolina. He used to say, I guarantee you, instead of guarantee. So it's Guarantino?
Yes, Guarantano is what I've always heard. That's all what I've always heard. Right, like, listen,
well,
I'm not.
If anybody knows it, you'll know it.
I guess that's possible. Now, when you're looking at this Tennessee team, look, I think the struggles are apparent to everybody, but you mentioned they've gotten better this year significantly than last year. What areas have you seen them improve in primarily?
You know, I think the athleticism on the offensive line, getting two big tackles like they recruited, you know, five-star type guys of Darnell.
Wanye Morris.
And Wanye Morris. What's Darnell's last name?
Right.
Yeah, from up in West Virginia. So they got the frame, you know, a lot like the two tackles we have. And it's just a case of, you know, not making a lot of first downs and then missing the plays that are there. Like last 2 weeks ago, they had a going in to score against Tennessee, against Florida. And guy's got a wide open reception in the end zone, goes through his hands, and Florida intercepts the ball. So, I can't say precisely what it is, but it's the kind of game that preparation-wise, their team, our team's going to respect that because they know a lot of these players. They played with them against them in high school, and they respect the fact that it's a conference game. And I'm telling you now, around the country, there's a lot of good teams out there. You know, 7, 8, 9 teams vying for these four positions. So you got to really do your stuff every week.
Yeah, Kirby Smart was asked about that, kind of the amount of points other teams are putting up. He's averaging over 40 a game, but, you know, you didn't against Notre Dame. Everyone's like, well, do you think you need to score more, Coach? And, you know, he's like, look, I'm not worried about what other teams are doing. It's just not my thing. But why do I you know, I'm not going to worry about what these other teams are doing.
Well, if it works, why would – What are you going to do? I mean, what are you going to change? You know, I mean, if that's the case, I don't see why you're going to move away from what worked. I mean, you're still getting W's. That's the ultimate goal, right?
When you put in the second string, I mean, I saw there was a starter for a team I'm not going to mention, but they had the starter in. They were up 35. He's still slinging the ball around.
Yeah.
You know, and then what happens if that guy gets hurt? And when Georgia puts in a second string, you get guys, you know, Kenny McIntosh, he's not holding up. He's not slowing down.
We scored 55 points against Arkansas State. Arkansas State is a pretty good football team. They've really got they're 3-2 now. But here's the thing, and I want to just jump up on my table right here and say a couple words now. We beat the number 9 or 8 team in the country without our starting two corners. Without our starting two corners. Our starting offensive tackle didn't play until the second half. Our left guard got hurt in the first quarter.
Four starters out.
So that's no excuse. It's reality, but still was a dominant performance until the end of the game when they made a couple plays and they got within 6. But we're really pulling –
But you didn't score 60 but or 70 points.
We're pulling at straws I mean, compare the way we played against Notre Dame to compare the way Alabama played against Ole Miss. Ole Miss got a true starting – I mean, the two starting quarterbacks that for South Carolina is a true freshman and Plumlee's a true freshman, and they both got over 400 yards and 30 points against Alabama's defense. Our people would be going nuts right now if that happened to us. So – I've had enough of my ass chewed over the years here that I don't need to get chewed, but I'm just going to tell you, I'm not disappointed in where our team – I think we're sitting –
No, I agree with you.
I think we're sitting really good. I don't think we're a dominant team right now from a standpoint of going to just knock people around, but I like our defense right now. The way we've played the first four games, better than Alabama's, better than LSU – not maybe as good as Auburn in our conference, but I like our overall team as good as anybody in the conference. And you had our kicking game with Rodrigo. You think Nick Saban wouldn't give at least one Mercedes to have Rodrigo? And he sells Mercedes. Yeah. He could give him one to have Blankenship kicking for him.
Oh, absolutely. And we had somebody in our comments the other day said, hey, I'm a Florida State fan, but if there's any way we could borrow Rodrigo Blankenship and reverse engineer him and come up with what, you know, everybody needs a kicker like that.
Yeah.
And point being, I just thought, and I don't remember who asked it. I'm not making fun of the journalist yesterday that asked him that question, you know, about, you know, do you feel you need to keep up with the Joneses?
Well, I mean, it seems – I understand where it's coming from.
Yeah. But I'm like, you've had one game in which you didn't put on, you know, a truckload of points. And it just happened to be against the number 7 team in the nation.
So how many touchdowns have we given up this year on defense? 2 in 4 games?
Yeah, I think it's just 2. So, yeah. I mean, you're
rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're leading the SEC. You're averaging 10 points a game, you know, so that's.
Yeah.
Well, so your defense is good. Your offense is putting up enough points. But I get the whole. My point is, they said, well, you know, kind of that beauty contest. You're scoring a bunch of points, but then these other teams that have been scoring a bunch of points, when they face decent competition or even not great competition,
I guarantee
UNC,
we would have done the same thing that UCLA, what Oklahoma would have done. We'd done the same thing to Texas Tech. It's just comparative scores are unrealistic, but our quarterback hasn't thrown a pick this year. He's only played in the fourth quarter in one game. I mean – if Michelangelo was painting a picture, he would have to start with certain parts of the picture before he finished it, okay? So he would have to get his canvas ready, get it everything, and then he would just kind of go. This is a team that's going to paint a Monique beautiful picture, and we're going to go into Auburn, Alabama, riding high, and it's going to go – to that game, I'm just telling you, who else on our schedule, unless we just completely self-destruct, maybe Missouri, you know, any of these games. But, hey, here's what I would like to say, which I want to get across and be very elucidative. I want to elucidate.
There you go, elucidate. I love it.
That we need to, if you're going out to the best restaurant in the history that you've ever wanted to go, or you go to the Champions, you just don't want to eat everything right away and it be over with and it's over. Hey, let's enjoy this year. This is going to be a good year. You've already experienced an unbelievable deal at home with Notre Dame, a very heartfelt situation with Arkansas State's coach. Those are two memories there along the memory bank. Is going to be 7 or 8 like that all year long.
You took over Nashville.
But let's just take it a little bit easy here and pump the brakes on reading a riot act about, you know, and certainly it's okay to figure out what's wrong with us, but I guarantee you, I wouldn't trade our team for many. Now, Ohio State certainly got some defensive players. I mean, I don't know how many five stars they had in that 2017.
Hey, that Okuda kid can play.
How many did they have in 17? Like four or five?
They're all playing. Yeah.
And regardless of what you say about how Fields is playing, they're using him and using that back. But they played – the first thing everybody say, well, they hadn't played anybody. Well, maybe they hadn't. They played at Nebraska. Well, we have played somebody. We played Notre Dame. So we're in the top four in the country right now. I can tell you that. We're in the top four.
And a lot of people want to be upset about it, and they want to worry about it. And, again, I actually wrote this in one of my columns. And if you should be a member of UGASports.com and look for something called the Georgia 3-2-1 reports, three observations, two questions, one prediction. And I said, look, enjoy the ride. We got so many people who are so starved for how the game, I mean, how the season's going to end. All they're concentrating on is, you know, I had two people ask me, how far is Georgia going to drop in the polls because they're off this week? And I'm like, what are you worried about? They're off. You know, if somebody jumps up, who cares? It doesn't matter. They're so caught up on the end, you don't see the ride in. You're so caught up in what Notre Dame's doing. I mean, what Alabama's doing, what Clemson's doing. You're freaking out about stuff like this. It drives me batty because I'm like, look, the season is a third over. In a blink of an eye.
Not counting the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm just saying the regular season. Quick, third over, you're like, wait a minute, we just started. And it's you know, we're already through four games, and so you've lost that opportunity.
I really like this. This is a beautiful time to have the time off that we had. Because I don't think – and Kirby's really close to the vest about injuries and all, which he should be. But, you know, Mark Webb didn't hardly even practice the week of the Notre Dame game. It was down to the wire whether he was going to play or not. And we had several guys like that had just little nagging injuries, and they come in and they played extremely well. But the things that people focus on is the fact Stokes was out, Campbell was out. But we had a lot of guys that, you know, Friday night, they didn't know if they're going to play or not. So that was a huge win. I mean, any way you look at it, because I guarantee you, you saw what happened to Alabama when they lost their first two linebackers. Yeah. They got drubbed by South Carolina. I mean, they couldn't stop them.
They looked like a different team.
And South Carolina couldn't even get a first down against Missouri. So you just can't manufacture players. It's just hard to get. And McGee came in there and did a good job. But, I mean, overall.
I go back to this. You remember how many people had such a great time on that Notre Dame trip when they went to Chicago, they went to South Bend, but you were going in there without your starting quarterback. You had lost Jacob Eason the week before. This young freshman had come in, you know, eight plays into the game, and everyone's freaking out. But you did have some amazing plays. You had some other guys get hurt in that.
Sure.
And it was a close game, and you had a great memory there. Walking out of there, you were thankful to get that 1-point win.
Absolutely.
You know, you are Terry Godwin's fingernails away from losing that ball game, you know. 2 years later, you're expecting to beat them by 30 points. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell? Whoa, slow your roll.
No, we're a better team to me.
We're a better team now
than we were then, and they're a better team.
Right, but take out four starters, and it gets closer. So my point about the whole –
they had eight sacks last week.
It's way too early to be worried about garbage like that.
And they had eight sacks last week, didn't they, against Virginia?
Yeah, I think it was, like, way up there. And Josh Braun, I spoke to him, Georgia offensive line commit, after that game. He said, look, Notre Dame shows up to big games.
That's a good point.
He said this was a huge game for both teams. He said everybody's out there laying it all on the line, playing their hearts out. Look, I get where people came off with it because they probably lost a couple bucks. I mean, I get it.
Yeah, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to take on my Kirby Smart quote here. The game starts, you're not playing when you're starting corner, your first team corner loses, you know, it's out of the game real quick. You don't know if Webb's going to be able to play the substitute on special teams and all that and play and star. And it's 1 minute in the game. You tell Coley, hey, look, we're down on defense. I don't know if we can stop these guys or not. Like, let's don't give them anything easy. We give them something easy with a fumble punt. But we played that game to win the game and not be our normal self because you have to adjust. And that's what they did. I mean, I sent Kirby a text. I thought it did a magnificent job of taking care of what they had to do to win the game.
Yeah, and they win it. They don't get enough credit for it. And I actually think on SportsCenter they're saying, why are we banging on Georgia for barely – beating Notre Dame when – you kind of did. You beat him handily, and you did it without a bunch of starts. But point being, we're on to Tennessee, and I want folks to enjoy the ride. You're going into Tennessee. What's the spread on this game?
Oh, it's like 24, 25. Yeah.
Never happened before.
Last time you were in Knoxville,
Coach,
you remember?
When you were the head coach, have had a bit of a 24-point favorite against Tennessee in Knoxville.
Yeah, I would have thought that somebody smoking some severe crack.
See, that's what I'm saying. Times have changed. You know, enjoy the ride. You're expected to beat them by three,
well, we
four
won
touchdowns.
Now straight SEC games. Okay. 14, 15?
Yeah.
Yeah, and in against the East. The East, yeah.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to just pretend this is a time capsule, and we've taken everything that's happened, and we put it in this vault because it's good stuff. Now, let's go forward here.
All right. All right. I agree with you. I agree. We got a bunch of questions rolling in. Definitely want to hit a bunch of those today. And if you got some, make sure to send them to us over here at Dogs365 on Facebook. But
Before we get to the question, I want to shout out our big friends at Athens Ford. They are the premier Ford certified pre-owned vehicle dealers in the state. They are the best. They get awards for that. They have three different quick deals you can get here. If you are a student, you get a $500 discount. If you're the veterans and active members of the U.S. military, you get a $500 discount. If you're a student and in the military, you know, you went through the GI Bill, see if you can talk about giving them both. I don't know if they will, but it's worth a shot. So college students and recent college grads get $500 off. And like I said, military members. Right now they have 1,057 vehicles out there. A lot of those are pre-owned.
I bet you can find something you like out of them.
There's something you like. So they have tons of new ones, and they have great deals on them. Just go to athensford.com. You can't miss it. You can also schedule service out there. Let's say you need, like I needed a new battery recently the other day. You just swing by there. They'll take care of it. If you want to need your oil change, need any sort of additions, add-ons, they do a ton of custom work. You can actually go in and schedule it. So it's not like, hey, you know, you call them up and you're looking at your map and they're looking at your calendar and they're looking at theirs. You can go ahead and just do it online. It's fantastic. And if you're in a hurry, you can buy a car in 90 minutes, under 90 minutes. They have a really quick program out there. And the reason I keep bringing up the certified pre-owned, all of their vehicles have a lifetime powertrain warranty, anything under 80,000 miles. Of course, all the new ones, any of the pre-owned under 80,000 miles, got a lifetime powertrain warranty. Nobody else is doing that, so hit them up.
All right. Coach, let's get into some of these questions. People got a lot for you today. Mac Jones, 1969, over on the Dog Vent, wants to know. He says, Kirby mentioned opening up the offense more. He wants to open it up more. He says, what do you think that could entail? What could we possibly see moving forward in that regard?
You know, I'm not sure that I can be concrete on that, but there's some things that
– tell us the game plan.
We've got some deep shots we haven't shown a lot of this year, you know, as far as most of the things we've done are, you know, down the boundary. Maybe we can go on some post routes. So maybe we can do some misdirection cross country, what we call cross country, where you go one way, another guy goes the other. We used to call it TVP, you know, which take off vertical with the post. But little slang there, but you know,
I'm taking notes.
The idea is the guy's running down the boundary in the corners, and the other guy's coming right in behind him on a vertical, and then there's a post right behind him. So if the corner clears out, then you got that guy, and if the safety jumps it, you got the post over the top. But we got those kind of concepts, maybe a few more. For sure, some utilization of Cook, which you know.
Sure.
Cook's about 13 months pregnant right now. he's overdue. I mean, we got to get him the ball. But I think he's just talking about maybe some more explosive plays where we wear people down a little bit. But we've got to get some bigger plays, you know, some longer runs.
Really good question here, and this is one that Kirby's been asked about. I know that it's something that a lot of people have wondered about. Good question for you, though, because you're a guy who's been in these situations. Middle Tennessee Dog over on the board wants to know, real question, does having a former coach on the other sideline mean a damn thing?
You know, sometimes it can help a little bit as far as being disruptive because maybe you change your signals, which, you know, you're worried that they might have your signals or they know your personnel and they know what a guy can't do. But deep down, once you get in the game – you can't say, well, I'm not going to run a post on this guy because he overplays the inside, or I'm not going to try to hook this guy because he really plays good leverage. But, you do have a better knowledge of the personnel. You know, you've got Shear, Rocker, Pruitt,
Chaney.
And Chaney, along with Coach Pruitt up there, that know our personnel. But, you know, we recruit a lot of these guys. We know their personnel, too. So I would say in the end, it's a little bit of an advantage maybe in preparing for the game, because you don't have to do as much study on the personnel because you already have seen them practice. But the disadvantage for them is they haven't – Chaney hasn't seen, if he's telling their defense about our offensive players, he hasn't seen Pickens live, Blaylock live, Cager live, you know, these guys that are really making a big point to help our team. So – our passing game is so much different than when he was here, because the personnel, with the exception of Simmons, pretty much all new. Robertson practiced a lot last year, but everybody else is pretty much new.
So you don't worry about there being any super inside scoop that he's able to dole out. I mean, Kirby said yesterday it comes down to who's blocking better, right, who's That's executing better. I mean, at the end of the day, is that really all it is?
You know, you can worry about a lot of things, and every coach, that's part of your plan, is you go into giving the other team credit for, yeah, you know, scouting you and all that. But in the end, if you worry too much about what the other team – like if I'm going to the line, and I used to say estimate the defensive intent, what can they do from how they line up? But if you've got a deep pass and this guy's lined up close – closer to the line than normal, and you're worried about the guy, the safety, taking away the top, you don't need to be playing college football, because there's nobody in America can line up that close to the line of scrimmage and play the deep outside. So take that worry out of your mind, you know. Just eliminate, and most of us know that things work more because you expect it to and you're thinking positive than you say, well, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know. Hey, he might do this. He might do that. So – you got to understand that you got to look at why a play would work instead of why it wouldn't work. So I'm all for playing the numbers and all. And we got the best guy in the world as far as we don't have a lot of bad plays because we get out of them. I'd like to see our plays maybe get in the game a little quicker sometime. But that's all with the nuances of a new coordinator, new signaler, everything. And we got to do a little bit better on that.
We did we asked Jake Fromm about that. We're like, what is in the scouting report? Because he said that they did some self-scouting on themselves this past week in the bye week. And I said, look, Jim Chaney knows you, you know. And Jake went out of his way to say, hey, look, I thank Jim Chaney for teaching me the pro-style offense. I didn't do that as much, you know. So he taught me a lot about it. He's helped me a great deal. And I said, well, so he's helped you. He's taught you. How does he scout? What's his scouting report on you say? You know, what weaknesses is he going to point out? And he says, well, he knows that I'm dying to get into the perfect play. And sometimes the perfect is the enemy of the good. He says, sometimes we just have to go with a good play, do it well. Get it. He said, the most important thing is get everybody on the same page so that we perform that play well. And I could just see, to your point, getting that play in earlier, Kirby mentioned as much, saying, you know, sometimes we need to get it in a little bit earlier so he can have time to read the defense and make his adjustments, make any calls he needs to. But I can just see, me, what's going to be interesting is the chess match between Jeremy Pruitt and that defense, and they know, and Jim Chaney, knowing that, okay, we're going to moving guys around trying to mess with Jake Fromm, who's trying to get into the perfect play, because, you know, I can't wait. Again, enjoy the process. Right. It should be a fun game to see how they actually pull that off.
There's a lot to be said, though, and from Jake's standpoint. The perfect play is one thing, but the element of being in a rush or getting the play off quickly and making the other team defend it is another thing. For instance, when I was hired by Oklahoma, Coach Switzer said, tell me about your checkoff system. We really don't use one a lot, you know, because we're just so good. We run our plays and make the other team stop them, you know. And I talked to him about the either side or the other, you know, right or left, and then getting out of a bad play. And we put that in there. But, you know, I always like to see a team once in a while just go up and run a play quickly and see if the other team can stop it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, and particularly on the goal line, when I see some of these teams over there looking back and checking, and then putting guys in motion. All, hey, you're your own worst enemy when you stop yourself. You get a 5-yard penalty on the goal line, you're probably going to be kicking Rodrigo.
Yeah.
So you don't have to have the absolute ultimate play every time, and Jake knows that. And you got to be careful. You try to be too finite. You know, you got to be it's where you just, hey, line up and let's see if they can get off Thomas' block, if they can tackle, you know. But if they got more men than you on one side, don't go up that way.
I do like something that Jake said, because somebody was asking him about the schemes and stuff, and he said, look, lots of times the team that we face will put more guys in the box than we have blockers. So they have one extra. We can't block them. But he says, sometimes, though, we think we're good enough that we're still going to run it. We want to establish a run, and we think that our guys, even with one free, you know, with one extra man, can beat them, you know. And so sometimes we call that run, and it doesn't work, but sometimes it does, you know. And I thought it was a good kind of insight in that he says, look, you know, teams are going to stack the box. Notre Dame did it. They're going to stack the box against us, but one of my guys is going to climb.
Sure.
One of my guys is going to take on his block and pick up somebody else, or James Cook against their one guy. You know, DeAndre Swift against that one guy.
Who's that, James who?
Cook, yeah.
Who's he play for?
Yeah, I heard he's a 5-star running back at the UC University.
James Cook.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's on our team.
Yeah, number 4.
I was being facetious. They get in the dang ball.
Yeah, just a DeAndre Swift against their one guy. You know, sometimes that's a matchup that you like your guy better in. So let him stack the box. And then the question came down, they're like, hey, Jake, and you helped me with this the other day, Coach. When you automatically see that they got a bunch of guys in the box and it's one-on-one with George Pickens or Lawrence Cager, why aren't you automatically throwing to them? You know, and
down the distance has something to do with that.
Well, though, you can also see that Jake's like, how much time do I have in this thing to explain to you about what the safeties may be doing, you know, and all the down distance.
But as long as people play a single high safety this year, mm-hmm. we're going to the dance.
Yeah.
I mean, they cannot – stop our passing game with a single high safety. I just don't see it.
And then
can't stop our running game with two deep safety. So, I mean, we got a real paradox there.
It's a good problem to have.
All right, we've got a couple more questions here related to all kinds of things, but I like this one for you, Coach. Parker Shiro.
Is this about Dancing with the Stars?
over on the dog vent wants to know, he says, for Coach, can you reminisce a little bit on that 2000 win versus Tennessee, breaking the drought, fans running on the field before the game was over? Just what was that like?
It was just a burden off the monkey off your back, you know, because we were so close a couple times against them. But in this game, we were playing very poorly there at one point. Then Moussa Smith took that kickoff back, and then from that point on, we were okay. But it was just great. Experience. One of the real thrills of anybody's life to see, you know, I hated it. Some people got hurt there, but you know, just people rushing the field. That's a tremendous victory for us, and we've, you know, been pretty good against Tennessee since then. So it's just hard to believe that since that year, Tennessee is like one out of every three SEC games. They're, you know, they're like, they got a terrible record, you know, now like 25-60 or something since Fulmer in the SEC, is, you know, with all their tradition and all. But
what do you see happening up there?
I just think it's going to – get better.
Well,
it can't help but get better if they'll be patient with Pruitt. But, you know, they're going to have a struggle winning these next four games. I mean, they got us, Alabama. Who else they got?
It's a murderer's row.
It's pretty tough. I know that. And you count Tennessee in there against Florida. So, that's the first one.
You know,
and us. They will.
Florida.
Well, Florida's ranked in the top 10. Us in the top 10.
Georgia, Mississippi State, Alabama, South Carolina.
I think they got a really good chance against Mississippi State and South Carolina.
I could see that. Yeah, so obviously. No, that was it's interesting that you said that about what's going to happen up there. Middle Tennessee Dog also wants to know, do you think Phil Fulmer will be the next coach at Tennessee?
No, I do not. But it would not shock me. I mean,
you know, he's got a lot invested. This was his call to hire Pruitt. I mean, he got down between Pruitt and Mel Tucker. And congratulations to Coach Tucker with a big win over Arizona State on the road, starting out 3-1. But, you know, he's got too much invested in this guy. You know, he's his man. He got to back him. But if they did make a – if they do make a mistake, if they do make that mistake and make a move, he ain't going to make it the week before Alabama came.
No, I mean, you got to give him time. I know a lot of people, we grew up, at least I did, watching, you know, a strong Tennessee team. They were, you know, kind of the college royalty. Those Florida-Tennessee matchups were gigantic, you know, and that was who's going to win the East. And so you kind of expect them, like, they're down on their luck. You know, what's going to happen? And if a coach isn't winning there automatically, you're like, okay, fire his butt and get somebody new in there. But I think that they've learned, even, you know, through the Dooley, the Butch Jones thing, it is – college football now is exponentially harder to bring in the Jimmy and Joes you need to Tennessee. You don't have that built-in recruiting base like Georgia does, yep. like Florida does, like Southern Cal, Texas. So they have to recruit well. What – did they finally do? They didn't have it, to me, in their last two head coaches. They went out and got a strong recruiter, give him some damn time. And I was kind of busting on Kirby Smart saying, you know, they're on the verge of something. But the man knows football. He's going to be polite because he's respectful. But he also knows that if you put a good recruiter in there at a program that has unlimited funds, good things are going to happen to that team. Best news for Georgia? It ain't happening this year.
Yeah.
So you go up there, you get your win, you know, and you turn around, you host South Carolina, you should win that one. And, yeah, you look forward to it, but you enjoy it. You get as many people up there, but don't just assume that because they're struggling now, you're going to fire Jeremy Pruitt.
Let me ask you both this.
Look at the last coaching search, how much that messed up.
Let me ask you both this. Do you think Jeremy Pruitt is the answer at Tennessee? No. Can he get Tennessee right?
I do.
I think so, too. I think he can. I think that
– the reason I say that is because I've watched this guy coach on the field. I've talked football with him. I've seen what he's done. It'd be different. I mean, I don't really know Butch Jones. I've never been around him. I mean, Butch Jones won some games there. They won 9 2 years. So, if he can do it, I would think Pruitt can. But he was left some pretty good players, too. And, you know, they had a couple good recruiting classes up there. They should have a good recruiting class. But the difference between Jeremy Pruitt's staff and Butch Jones, he's got some really good coaches on his staff, yes. Some guys that are difference-maker coaches that will help them teach these guys and develop them. Jones lost some good coaches. I mean, he lost the first year his play caller left and went to the Tampa Bay after the second year. I mean, after that, their offense was not very good. And he had an elite quarterback in Joshua Dobbs. I mean, right now they don't have – this guy's okay, but they don't have an elite quarterback. And Dobbs made a lot of difference on that team. The guy's still in the pros.
I don't know that they have an elite player. You know, just a true guy that I look at and say, you know, he strikes fear into the heart. A DeAndre Swift, a Jake Fromm. I mean, you know, they've got some great young players, like we said, with Darnell Wright, but I think that it's going to take time to develop a kid like that.
Who's that one linebacker that got 19? How good's he?
Linebacker, you say? I'll have to go check the roster on that.
And the offensive lineman, they had that big left tackle, Trey Smith.
Trey Smith is
good,
badass.
And Aubrey Solomon is
Solomon's a very good – but, again, you know, these are guys that – kind of came in. They're having to adopt this new situation. I mean, a guy like Marquez Callaway, good player. Warren Burrell, good player. Alante Taylor, good player. D'Angelo Gibbs, good player.
Is Gibbs eligible this year?
J.J. Peterson.
Gibbs isn't eligible, is he?
I don't think so. J.J. Peterson, good player. I mean, they've got good players, but when you look at it, is there one guy who just strikes a lot of – right.
Where's that five-star that
you know, you thought maybe it would be Nigel Warrior. It seems like he's really struggling this season. I think that it's been a tough season for him so far.
Well, you shoot a real hole in your team when you lose to Georgia State. All the momentum from all the spring practice and fall camp. And then you look at the schedule after that, and you're thinking, good Lord. And they played really well in spots against BYU. I mean, they really did. I mean, BYU is a team that's gone to the wire against Washington and beat USC. I mean, so – and then after that, you know, they had the game with Chattanooga, which – and then Florida, they just – way too many mistakes. So, if they play, you know, mistake-free and do a good job in the kicking game, they got a chance against several teams. And they'll have a chance against us because we could all of a sudden screw up and make some mistakes we haven't made.
I would like to
We would have to lose to them. I mean, we would have to completely discombobulate.
Georgia has done that in that stadium, and that wasn't too long ago.
Yeah.
And there was a quarterback there by the name of Josh Dobbs who ran over Georgia's linebackers.
Right.
Georgia gets up to a big lead in that game. What was it, like 24-3 or something? and then just completely melts down.
That was unbelievable. And it was like 38-24
or
something.
Yeah, and then you talk to everybody on that team. They're like, we couldn't tackle him. I remember Jay Gaines saying, I had a terrible game. You know, guys like that. And you're tackling, and you and I both know that Josh Dobbs is not the most physically intimidating quarterback there is out there.
No, sure.
But they're grabbing him up around the shoulders and being dragged by his 98 pounds wind wet body down the field. And it's like, you can always.
He wanted it more.
And here's something I want to give credit that you just talked about, Josh Dobbs. I want to give credit to this recruiting guru here. I was asking, what in the world are we recruiting this Plumlee kid from Mississippi for? And I saw it Saturday.
Hey, I told you. The kid, guy's he can play.
Player now.
He can play.
I mean, I would play that guy in a New York minute. I mean, guy competed, too, against those. He was getting running for his life, but. Boy, he's a skillful player now, fast.
Played in a lot of big games over there in Mississippi. He's a kid who is not afraid of the big stage. Thrives for
him. I mean, he's a difference maker because he can – with his feet, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think they got a good
one. So, as usual, you're right.
Thank you.
He gets one right every now and then. It looks like you're too crazy.
You had to step out on a Mockingbird limb to say that you were going to take that guy. For George to be recruited – and at the end, we ended up – not being able to take him because we want him the gray shirt or something, right?
Yes, the blue shirt.
I knew it was in the rainbow.
They made me learn a new term for that one.
Now, that's good stuff. And
I did. You know, we get a shout out here. We got Don Malco here today, an unbelievable supporter of Georgia. Unbelievable. Appreciate you coming.
Thanks,
when we needed stuff when I was first here, this guy stepped up and helped us out. I mean, big time. I've got to give him a little love here.
And we appreciate guys like that coming out. Thanks, Don. Thanks, everybody.
Shout out my mom and sister, too, who just walked in.
Well, good. Hey, this is all conference day here.
This is crazy. And Tim Pinnell's here, but Tim doesn't actually have a home. So.
Tim's an archive guy.
Tim's
an archive. Hey, and how about our man going down to scout both Florida and Auburn for us this week.
Absolutely.
Dave McMahon, his charge, Kirby asked me to tell you to get all their signals and put them on a little bit there and bring them home. And the one signal that I know we're going to get from Florida's, what are we in? what are we in, Coach?
Oh, third down, yeah.
Third and Grantham.
One place who does know their signals and knows what they're doing is our friends over at Aaron Overhead Doors. 4.95 star rating from 611 verified Nearby Now users. If you go to their site right now, I like this tagline. They're called the Buford-based family-owned garage door company.
Good.
I think that really sums it up. They are Buford-based, but they can take care of everything in North Atlanta, Northeast. They will travel. They are family-owned. This is not, you know, a giant chain of, you know, automatons. You don't know who you're talking to. When you reach out to Aaron Overhead Doors, you can speak to Ryan Lucia. He'll come out to your place if you need him to. They automatically have when you first pull up their website, you have the book online section where you can go ahead and book a meeting with those folks. And they also have a live chat. So you can say, hey, here's my issue, you know. Of course, you can call them, but if you just want a live chat, say you're at work and you don't want to be talking, you're trying to you're reading the UGASports.com and you're actually not working and you don't want your boss to hear you on a personal call. You can do a live chat with the folks over there, and of course, everybody there is an actual employee, not contractors, so they do take pride in their work because they have to go back there the next day, and it's not a situation where they go, oh well, you know, if you're mad, yell at Lowe's or yell at whoever. So. Big shout out to our friends there in Overhead Doors.
All right, Willie Gray here. We got a couple of recruiting questions to get into, but Willie Gray says, real quick, what's y'all's opinion on Nolan Smith? Seems very explosive off the edge to me, and I think it's just a matter of time before he starts racking up sacks.
Willie, you can pick out talent. He sure can. I mean, that guy is unbelievable, explosive. And, you know, we mentioned this last week. We're just not playing a lot of reps for everybody. You know, I mean, we're spreading them out. Everybody's getting some time. You know, Largy, Johnson, Grant, all these guys are getting in there, and not to mention Anderson, too. So, you know, a lot of players at one position. But I think Smith is definitely a future big-time player for Georgia and just going to – as they say, raise havoc with a lot of these defensive players, offensive linemen.
Kirby used the word, and I thought it was very telling yesterday during the press conference. He said, this kid brings a spark when he gets on the field. That's
like
exactly what we said about him when he was in high school. You get the sense when he's out there, his level of energy, the way that he approaches the game, it kind of elevates everything for everybody
around him. He enjoys playing.
Oh, yeah.
You miss seeing the guy. I shouldn't say you miss, but it's always enjoyable to see a guy who loves playing the game.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that they all don't, but there's certain guys, you see them out there, and they're always just grinning.
They live for game day.
They're like, this is the best.
With him, that you every time you see him on a football field, he's got that big wide grin.
Yeah, he's always happy all the time, but I mean, when he gets out there, he's like, oh. He reminds me of your dog when you come home. He's so happy, so excited. He's like, you're home. I get to do this. You're here. And he's just spinning around and around, you know. Who's the best dog? I'm the best dog. Spin. That's the guy. He gets on the field. He's like,
we'll see
how he has so much fun. This is going to be such a blast. And he just takes off after the quarterback. And the quarterback's like, dude, check out the enthusiasm. I'm tired of running from you.
We'll see how he develops. But really reminds me of a guy we had at Carolina, and Lawrence Taylor. I mean, just –
who's that?
Dominant Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah. Never heard of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. This type, he's that kind of player.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that's fair.
Dabfa22969 over on the vault wants to know, yes or no, will we land at least one of the following three guys from each group? So putting me on the spot. Appreciate that. DL, Jordan Birch, Jervon Dexter, or Justin Rogers. I'm going to say I feel better about this group than I do the other. I'm still going to say no right now. I just don't feel that confident on Birch. He's the one guy that I think you get out of that group. If Florida kind of comes up on some struggles, maybe Dexter becomes a bigger possibility. He's going to be a tough pull, and I just don't see it with Justin Rogers right now.
We got to see South Carolina go really in the tank. That would really help us on Birch.
I agree. Running back situation, he wants to know Zach Evans, Tank Bigsby, or Jahmyr Gibbs. I am going to say none right now. I don't think that either of those three are going to be your guy.
Where do you think Gibbs is going?
I think that Gibbs is probably going to end up tough. Florida, LSU are in on him. I think with what LSU's got going on right now, that's probably a hard situation to turn down. I will tell you this. I mentioned Jahmyr Gibbs a couple weeks back. Rowdy, you caught a shot of him on the sideline. That kid would flip to Georgia, I think, if they offered him today. He's admitted he's a longtime fan, showed up. Georgia Tech commit. I don't see him ending up at Georgia Tech in the end. 12.4 yards a carry this season, 1,300-plus through five games, 24 touchdowns already.
Hey, you did a good job online there with that kamikaze deal. What'd you call it?
Russian roulette.
Russian roulette, yeah. My bad. That was a good story there on our seat. But don't sleep on that Chaney kid from Florida, too.
Chaney. Our man Chad Simmons brought over some info on Dejan Edwards out of Colquitt County. Watch that one closely, too. And listen,
I said
yesterday, you're not out of it with Evans. It's not like this is a done deal. The longer this kid goes on, who knows what's going to happen with him? He's been completely unpredictable. Tank Bigsby, I do think that's going to be a very, very tough flip. If that is to happen, that's going to be closer to signing day. You're going to have to work very hard to make that happen. I think he's pretty locked in with Auburn, so I don't see it right now. But again, a lot of great options on the board for the Bulldogs. Right,
yeah,
now.
Watch out for Milton. I mean, UCLA might offer him $1 million contract now to sign his likeness. Yeah. What about that deal out there? That's unbelievable, huh?
Yeah,
well, absolutely. I do shout out to the California legislature for deciding to screw up college football.
It's going to be bad.
Florida's have you seen what Florida's doing? They're preempting them. They're trying to get it going for next year.
Okay, the reason I'm saying,
really? Shout out to, mm-hmm. Trying to help Florida State out.
So California says, okay, yeah, we're going to have this new rule where you can get paid for your likenesses, but it doesn't start until 2023. Wait a minute. Now, if you believe in this, go ahead and start that stuff right now and take the legal battle. But they knew that there was going to be a legal fight, so they put it in there. So I will give them a shout out for at least saying, look, here's what we believe. Now you guys work it out. Now, I did not realize that Florida was even stupider than that.
There's 10 to 12 other states looking
you
at it.
You sound surprised, though.
I'm not. I shouldn't be. something's going to have to change, because when you have the entire state legislature say, hey, this kid can do it, the NCAA is a volunteer association. Your school president says, hey, we want to be a member. They vote on the rules. I know everyone likes to bang on the NCAA and say they're horrible. And, yes, but remember, there is not one NCAA rule that was created by the NCAA, they're not this grand organization. They are made up of members.
We don't need anything to go wrong there, because all of a sudden, if you don't have any academic integrity at all on this recruiting, then what's going to happen then?
Yeah, it's
good. I mean, we could have a bunch of pro football.
Yeah, I definitely see a situation where it's a farm league now. It becomes more so. I'm for players being compensated in some shape or form. I don't know that this is the right way. You know, but at the same time,
they made a good move a couple years ago, giving that cost of living. I mean,
I don't care what it takes. Just bring back the football game. Just bring back the game, man. Well, that's all anybody cares about.
You know,
that's what the players care about. That's what they want to play as themselves. The fans want to play as it. I want to play the game again. I miss it. I miss NCAA.
I'm saying that there's when you have this many billions of dollars that are being made in college football, you're going to have to do something to take care of the players more so than what they've done. That was a good step for the cost of living adjustment, you know, or cost of school, a stipend or something. But you got to remember, every dime that you pay those football players, you're going to have to pay to every other scholarship athlete at that school. And you can't just say, hey, we got this deal for the football players and nobody else, you know. And I see what they did. They said, look, okay, we're going to do it off likeness. And I asked Jake Fromm about this. I said, Jake, what do you think about it? You have there are a lot of number 11 jerseys up in the stands with your name on the back. He goes, I said, do you want a cut of that? He said, well, I'm not a greedy man. I'm not a greedy guy. He says, but I think I could do well with that.
I think he's right.
And he would be able to trade on his likeness. And I get where maybe one of the Georgia's equestrian scholarship athletes may not be able to trade on her likeness yet, you know.
But the horse is good.
The horses will get it. But the idea is, you know, so they basically make it so that the stars who have the ability to cash in could cash in. I get that. I'm not against it. I don't like the idea of saying, hey, you know, everybody else can cash in on your likeness except you. But I think that they just opened a can of worms. And with all these other schools other states trying to fast forward it,
They're
going to screw up first.
Let me help you down off that soapbox now.
Just saying.
All right. Well, you saw that Stanford swimmer that was won all those Olympic golds, that girl swimmer, and they told her she could get $1,700 to stay at Stanford, you know, and then she goes pro and gets all that bathing suit money and all that swimsuit money and all of me.
Well, you have some – Georgia's had golfers, I'm sure Dave can tell us, who've actually gone out and as students here at Georgia have placed very high in tournaments, and they can't cash that nice check. So,
Murray made $5 million for baseball last year, and it didn't disrupt the the locker room. True. People still played with him. So let's get some more questions.
Before you do that, I want to mention that our friends at Your Pie have the new pastas out where you can go in and make your own pasta bowl, and they add all the different toppings to it. You can get a meatball marinara, cheesy Alfredo, the bake, whereas basically just like their Nat pizza. You can get all the different toppings you want into it. They cook it right in front of you in that big oven, bring it out to you. It's a fantastic pasta dish. Coach has had it. He liked it.
Finger looking good.
So you didn't have it with your hand.
I didn't have a fork.
So I just tore into it. So when you get a chance, swing by Your Pie. Of course, they have great franchise opportunities for you there. And if you have any allergy issues or any nutritional issues, you can swing by there. They make great tasting gluten-free dough. They have vegan non-dairy cheese. And they even have a non-dairy sorbet. So
there you go.
If you have a particular dietary requirement or allergy, our friends out at Your Pie will take care of you.
All right. Good question here from one of our guys who always has them, Chadwick Ivory over on Facebook. He says, guys, I'm not a better, but do you think that the Dogs cover the 25-point spread this Saturday?
Good Lord.
No.
No?
Call Danny Sheridan.
I don't like that 30 points in Neyland Stadium.
It's that's tough. In a night game, and yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot against any SEC.
You talking about first half?
No.
Go ahead.
That's brutal.
Can't give an answer on that. What else?
Sure. Chris Kaysen wants to know, what in the world is Georgia going to do at quarterback next year? I think a lot of people assuming Jake Fromm will take the step forward. I have not heard anything that makes me think that's going to be.
He is not going to do that.
That's not a for sure thing.
Just got to wait and see. Like wait to the end of the year. I mean, it's too many variables there. Look at all the guys that could go pro quarterback that we've talked about, and he's got to look at where he stands.
We mentioned 2 weeks ago.
He loves playing here. I mean, we'll see what happens there.
Watch out with watch out for Jaden DeLara possibly joining in the class with Carson Beck or, you know, another couple guys. Grad transfer is a possibility there. I think that there's a number
of them. Watch a quarterback from Utah State against LSU Saturday.
Yeah.
Player.
There you go.
Utah State.
All right.
What about my boy at UAB?
I have a good player. Yeah, that kid can play. He can sling them.
Is he a pro quarterback? Is that what you're talking about, transfer?
It's a grad transfer process.
Oh, okay. I was talking about guys going pro, but I don't. We'll just see about. We'll talk about that maybe the week of the SEC championship game.
There you go. Like I said, I think they got a number of options, different ways that they can go there.
That's a big question. But again, it's like, why are we so? We're looking so far down the road. Tennessee's this week. Enjoy whipping Tennessee's ass and then move on.
We've got some things up in the air there because we haven't seen a lot of Bennett. When we don't know what's going to happen with you know, our situation with Dwan Mathis. So it's a good question, but let's see what happens there.
What about – you said that – didn't you mention another quarterback, some Hawaiian kid?
Yeah, Jaden DeLara. Yeah, absolutely. And so that's a kid that I think they're going to be in. They've been in touch with.
You probably ought to get an interview with him.
Let's cut that out right now.
Get an interview with him. Person to person. Hello, Don Ho.
There's a thing called telephone.
Yeah, right.
Learn to use it.
Right.
Yeah, I really had a coach one time ask me, how long you think it'd take to drive to Hawaii? I'm serious, asked me.
He did not.
He did. I mean, the guy, it was serious, and he was sober. I mean, how long you think it'd take to drive to Hawaii?
Long as you got, pal. A lot of people asking about a possible next commit. The guy that I'm watching closest, just because we've heard the most about him and his kind of window being in this month, is Zykevious Walker. Oh, yeah. I think Zykevious is the guy that you look for this month. That's where I'm looking. I feel good about it.
I give him the check.
I feel good about it, too. I think
literally.
Not the check. I mean, I give him a check mark. I think we're going to put him on our side of the ledger.
I agree. Yeah. I think that it's Zykevious made a great addition.
He is a complete stallion.
He is.
Boy, you look at these D linemen we got coming in here, Carter and Brinson.
Yeah.
And this guy.
Nazir Stackhouse.
And Stackhouse. I mean, that's what you need.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you want to keep
and
it
that's,
going.
To me, that's what LSU's lacking right now with their defense. They don't have the killer D line that they've had.
Shocking.
Auburn does.
That is shocking because you're so used to
Auburn
going,
does,
looking there
though.
All the time.
Auburn.
Yeah.
King Kong.
But I've told people, don't be surprised with Zach Evans. Who knows what that kid's going to do? He said, what was it, 10 days ago now, I guess it was. I decided. Since that time, you know, Sam Spiegelman slipped his pick. Everybody we've talked to seems to be up in the air on
it.
He could do it while we're on the air in these last couple minutes. I mean,
that guy's going to flip around.
I think so, too.
Here's my thing. To me, it doesn't really even matter where he lands. I think that is the first kid who, if he doesn't like the school he's at, goes right into the transfer portal and goes somewhere else.
Possibly.
I don't know that he gets – in other words, just because you get a kid to sign with you doesn't mean that he spends his next 3-4 years there.
Sure.
It could happen.
No question.
And I'm not saying just him. A lot of kids are looking at that where they're like, well, if it doesn't work out, I'll just play 4 games, sit out the rest of the year, and transfer.
Let me throw this one at you real quick, Coach. I had a couple people talking to me about that article yesterday, and they said Georgia botched this thing totally with Tank Bigsby. They should have just taken Tank to begin with. I think more often than not, if you feel you've got a great shot with the number one running back in the nation, I think most coaching staffs take that shot.
Here's one time where Kirby being a good guy and Dale McGee being completely honest hurts you a little bit. You know, you could string him along and say, look, you know, hey, you know, you're our guy. We just want to make sure and all that. It's compared to, look, right now we can't take it. I mean, that's what it looked like to me.
Yeah, that's what it looked like to us,
and
too.
And the kid was ready to go, and he's going to Auburn. So whether he would have come here or not, everybody says he would. But you got to be completely candid. It's a case of you lose credibility with the coaches, high school coaches and all, if you string a guy along and then don't take him or promise him something. So right there, you know, hey, if things don't work out with Evans, it don't work out. But we got Milton, we got Cook, we got Bax, we got the kid that number 6 looks pretty good to me too out there.
Yeah. I do want to mention, you say Del McGee being honest with these kids. It was Georgia stringing along one of his quarterbacks that really ticked him off. And he actually banned Georgia from going down to Carver Columbus for a while there. He said, look, I don't want you here. The kid came up thinking he was going to commit. They said, oh, yeah, we don't want to take you. The kid brought up his family. He told the Georgia coaches they weren't welcome on his campus anymore. And behind him, he had Gabe Wright and Isaiah Crowell. And everyone's like, wait, he's kicking. I mean, there was panic going on. I mean, and he let him back. But this is a coach who he, as a high school coach in the state of Georgia, in the Columbus area, had some coaches string along one of his top players. The kid got embarrassed. And he's like, I'm not going to do that.
Yep.
And every kid that we talk to says, Del McGee tells it to me straight.
Yep.
And he says, look, here are the running backs we're going to have. And if you want to come be in the league, you come beat them out. Come be in this room. We'll teach you. And these kids get lied to so much that I'm not saying he's the only one that does it.
He
tells them the honesty. Yeah. But it is a breath of fresh air because you can't tell this kid, you know, hey, we think you're better than Kendall Milton and Evans, and we're probably not going to get either one of them, and lie to him the whole time. He said, look, we got Milton. We're trying to get Evans. We think you're a good guy, but we want to see how you go your senior year. Well,
that's right. Here's the way you present it to every kid that might be a player that always wanted to come to Georgia. Say, look, right now, you're not our top priority. If you want to wait, you can wait. And if we promise you, if we got something, we'll take you. But we can't take you right now.
Yeah.
That's all you can
say. That's all you can do.
Yep.
That's the question.
Makes sense to me.
I've had that happen to me a lot. I mean, you just it's tough, but you lose all kind of credibility on your own state.
And you're going to have that used against you. You better believe.
Quick shout-out to our friends at Academia Brewing Company. They had the Aftoberfest this past weekend from the 27th through the 29th. Ton of bands out there. So things are kind of getting back to normal out at Academia. So if you get a chance, swing by, have a great lunch, have a great dinner. They do amazing food out there. And, of course, their beer is off the charts. It's being sold everywhere. They're just growing by leaps and bounds. So get in on the ground floor, swing by, have your Academia. It is a great place to watch the game this Saturday. So you want to go in there at 7 o'clock, watch Georgia take on Tennessee. They'll have it up on the big screens, and you'll have great food and great beer while you watch the game. Shout out to their friend, Matt and the friends out at Academia Brewing Company.
Last thing, mouthwatering player of the week. Who do you like to bust out against Tennessee? Who do you think is going to have a big game this weekend? Roddy, we'll start with you, and we'll come to the coach.
I'm going to go with George Pickens.
That's a very nice pick. I like that.
I think they're going to, as Coach said, they're going to try to have – you got to stop the run. I don't know. You'll get a lot of single high safeties, but I just think that and Dave's been with me. We've seen wide receivers break out against Tennessee. Just historically. So I think it's going to be a situation where George Pickens, again, he's not breaking out. We know he's a five-star guy. It's not like he's unnoticed. But I think in that one-on-one, I remember seeing Chris Conley have a huge game against him. Javon Wims has had a good game. And so maybe I'm just there's probably no historical carryover, but I'm just used to seeing, going through my old photographs, seeing a great catch, and there's usually a Tennessee guy in it. And I like George Pickens against their cornerbacks.
Coach,
I'm going to go with Swift. I think he'll –
oh,
he's going to make my mouth water.
There you go.
He'll make my mouth hydrate.
I'm going with, I think, a guy that somebody mentioned earlier. I think that this could be a huge breakout game for Nolan Smith. I think that he's got an opportunity to get in there, really wreak some havoc. Going to have an opportunity, I think, to sub in quite a bit and get some playing time. So maybe I'll predict 2 sacks for Nolan Smith on Saturday.
What?
Yeah. How you like that?
Good job.
The guy who's going to get sacks, in my learned opinion, keep an eye on Tyler Clark.
Okay. All right.
Be a lot of holding calls on Tennessee.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'd say I think Tyler's just going to get stronger as the year progresses. He's impressed me the last few games, and Devontae Wyatt.
It's time for the Tennessee joke. We got one quick joke here because it's a serious deal when, you know, coaches change and you have new people move into the area. And he had a young kid that was in the first grade there, and his dad was a coach at Tennessee. And the teacher said, ask him a geography question, then ask him a history question, and said, hey, do you know who wrote the Declaration of Independence? And he said, I don't know, and I don't give a damn. He said, look, son, you can't talk like that. Where does your daddy work? So, well, he's a new coach at Tennessee. So, well, let's get him in here. So we brought him in here. So I want you to listen to this tape of your son talk. So he goes and he talks and he talks and he listens. He said, who wrote the Declaration of Independence? I don't know, and I don't get – hey, wait just a minute, ma'am. I'm going to take care of this. I'm a disciplinarian. I'm going to get my son. He calls him out in the hall. He said, Johnny, if you wrote that thing, you need to tell her.
Outstanding.
There we go, baby.
There's a cherry on top for you.
And with that, folks, we're going to have to wrap up the show. I appreciate everybody tuning in. Tune in next Tuesday. We'll be back from Tennessee, and we will be previewing the South Carolina game and recapping the game against the Volunteers. Until then, we will talk to you later.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.